This morning, our scripture comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and it begins in the 5th chapter at verse 21. And this is what is found there. It is a familiar story. So give your ears over to the reading and hearing of God's holy word. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. Well, something's not right. I'm missing a whole verse. Give me just a second, and I'll fill that in for you. No, I got a Bible. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had.
I hear you.
And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. This morning, I'd like for us to consider the subject for our text, hearing the whole story. Hearing the whole story. Several years ago, when I had a different day job, it was one of those things where you had to go in at a certain time, and there was always somebody else coming in the door. And I had this friend I was acquainted with named Joe. And one night when I was entering the building, I was passing by Joe, and we normally spoke to each other. Joe was a postal employee. And as we spoke to each other, let me say that there was nothing unusual in our passing. We spoke to each other. Joe saw me, he spoke first. He simply said, "Hey, King." And without breaking stride, I kept walking, and I said, "Hey, Joe, how you doing?" And while I'm still in motion, Joe said, and without hesitation, "Do you really want to know, or are you just asking as part of the salutation?" I laughed, partly because when Joe asked the question, he smiled with one of those "I gotcha" kind of looks on his face. Partly because I thought the question was kind of funny, but partly because it caught me off guard and made me think, but mainly because we were both at work and I didn't have time to listen to how he was doing. Suddenly, the integrity of my simple hello was put to question. I really didn't have time to hear his whole story, and he didn't have time to stop and tell me. But what if we had had the time? What if we had taken the time? Our story puts us at the very center of this swirling storm of despair and disappointment where time is of the essence. A child is dying, and it's not just any child. Her father is an important figure, a synagogue leader. He's got pull in the religious community. He may be anxious about the strained relationship that the Pharisees and Jesus always seem to be caught up in, but today he's got something more important than a strained relationship to worry about. He loves his little girl and would move heaven and earth to keep her alive. He knows Jesus has done so much healing among the people that he's buried his fear of what's possible, at least what's possible in terms of the end of his synagogue career, and decided to fall at the feet of Jesus, kneeling and begging for his daughter's life. He's moved way past any controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees. He's seen the power Jesus has and knows that if it comes to the life of his daughter and the relationship of the other leaders of the synagogue, then the synagogue and leaders and everybody else could go kick rocks. Saving his daughter's life was the most important thing in this moment. And so there he is, Jairus, a somebody in the community of the Jewish leaders, kneeling at the feet of Jesus and begging him to come with him and save his daughter's life. And Jesus, in his compassion, goes with it. Our text goes on to remind us a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. A woman suffering for 12 years. And her story is so different from that of Jairus. The text says she had been suffering from these hemorrhages for 12 years, and that statement alone doesn't begin to identify the heavy weight of her life struggles and the burdens that she carries. Those words outlining her life story simply lack the ability to make us partners with her beneath the overload of despair that she must be going through. She didn't have a health insurance plan. She'd had way too many second opinions for the doctor's words to have any meaning for her. They had taken all of her money in co-pays and prescriptions and other expenses, leaving her broke and without a cure. Her hope had become nothing more than a dream deferred as she waited for a cure for her disease. She may have been a respected woman of the community at one time, but after 12 years of being cut down and cut off and cut out of society, after 12 years of having to shout publicly, unclean, this was now a woman who was desperate. Desperate for either a cure or death or whatever else would put her out of her misery. Cut off from society, she couldn't enter the temple to worship. It seemed that her relationship with God had crumbled beneath her broken hope and become non-existent. She no doubt felt lonely and alone, isolated beneath a mountain of despair and hopelessness. She had no one that she could count on, no one that she could believe in, no one she could reach out to. No one, that is, except Jesus. This is her moment of kairos, that point in life as described by Victor Hugo as a time in which there is no greater power on earth than an idea whose time has come. And after 12 years of agony, she's reached that point because her life situation, that she's busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. And in a last-ditch effort to regain her dignity, her life, her relationship with God, the power of her idea to reach out and touch Jesus has come. It has consumed her. And she's going to take advantage of it. She has to go to him. Every past prayer, every past tear, every last hope, and all of her faith was riding on her need to touch Jesus. It was her last chance at wholeness, her last chance at once again being a part of the community, her last chance at life. And in her desperation, she came up behind him in the crowd, reached out, and touched him. So powerful was her act of faith that Jesus immediately noticed that healing power had gone out from him. He stopped and, turning first right and then left, asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now I imagine that as Jesus stopped to make this inquiry, Jairus is having a crisis moment of his own. I can imagine that in Jairus' heart and mind, pleading with Jesus and saying to himself with words filled with their own anxiety, Don't stop now, Jesus. Not now, Jesus. You don't have time to find out who touched you among all these people. Remember, there's a little girl, my little girl, who's lying down, waiting in the valley of the shadow of death. Whatever you do, Jesus, don't stop now. But Jesus did stop. His disciples realized the futility of what Jesus was saying. There were too many people for them to know who touched him. But the woman couldn't keep quiet. Filled with the fear that she might lose the very blessing she just received, she came forward to confess. But more than a simple confession that she did it, overwhelmed with joy that she was healed and fear that she might have lost her blessing, she told him the whole truth. Not a part of the truth. Not the truth of the latter days, not just the early truth, but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus put on the brakes of compassion while on his way to heal a young girl and pulled over to the side of life's road to hear the whole despairing story of an old woman whose life was, for all practical purposes, over. Jesus stopped with a little girl still trapped in the valley of death's shadows while her father listened to this old woman go on and on and on and on about her sickness and her despair and her agony and her desperation. I imagine she told him of the times when she was younger before she was sick. She probably went on and on about what her life used to be like before people began to shun her, before her friends dropped her, before she was considered an outcast. He stopped and listened to the whole truth. The truth of her story is if she was the only one that mattered. How the doctors kept giving her false evidence and false diagnoses, and how they took all of her money and left her broke, and now she didn't have anything. And Jesus listened to the whole story. And then in an act of grace that goes beyond measure, he pronounced her clean, healed, free, and whole again. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." How long do you think it took for this woman to tell Jesus the whole truth? 2 minutes? 2 hours? How long do you think it took for this woman to chronicle her whole story while this little girl lay dying? This is a story where the whole story is greater than the sum of its individual parts. It's about how Jesus responded to the needs of a person in despair. I'm confident that this isn't about Jesus's inability to distinguish who actually touched him. And yes, it might be about faith in the synagogue ruler, how Jairus believed in him. It might be about the faith of the suffering woman and the miracle of healing. But I also believe it was an object lesson used to teach those who observed Jesus's actions to understand that sometimes the miracle happens when we're willing to spend time doing nothing more than practicing the ministry of listening to another person's whole story and not just the highlight film of their life. At times we have to be willing to take the time to hear the whole truth. You see, friends, we live in a world of distractions. Each day we grow consistently more and more distant from actually giving one another our full attention. There are stories and videos galore about people who are so distracted by their attention to cell phones that they walk into walls and doors and fall into open ditches on the sidewalk. I'm almost certain that somewhere right now, two people are engaged in lively conversation, and before one has finished what they're saying, the other person is interrupting them with their side, their view, their opinion, without ever hearing the whole story, but only hearing half the truth, much less the whole truth. Someone sitting in a class, rather than giving their full attention to the lesson being taught, will be distracted by a friend wanting to share a side remark or some other foolishness that has nothing to do with the lesson at hand. Somewhere, two or more people will be engaged in a conversation when an incoming phone call or text message will break the attention of one of the speakers and the whole of their story is going to be interrupted. But that's the nature of where we are today. We've become so distracted that giving our full attention to someone else has become problematic. It's an amazing thing that our power, the power to remove people's burdens and to offer people hope, is right there in our willingness and our ability to listen to someone's whole story. For too many of us, text and emails, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the newest form of message that is only 40 words long is all we have time for. There are people whose backs are against the wall of life. Their vision is blurry from the tears of their own suffering. And I'm talking now about people who suffer from despair and loneliness, heartbreak and heartache. There are people carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. And with the onset of each day, the despair of wondering if it will ever be over consumes them. They live with the truth of that song that Beyonce sang one time. Sometimes I feel on top of the world, and sometimes the world's on top of me. We're talking about people who wake up in the morning feeling like the world is on top of them. And with each nagging illness is the doubting faith that God hasn't heard their cry, doesn't care for them, nor has God heard their prayer. Hope dies just a little more with each day of suffering and despair, grows like a bacterium in their soul. They put their trust in doctors, they put their trust in friends, they've trusted in positions of power and in appeals and public persuasion, and now find themselves at the end of their proverbial rope. And maybe they're wondering if just maybe, hoping against all hope, if Jesus really does answer prayer. Except that there's no one for them to tell their whole story to. There's no one with the patience to sit with them long enough to hear the whole truth without feeling a need to move on, without feeling the need to go to something or somewhere else. Oh my, look at the time. There's no one willing to hear anything that's more than the situation. When asked, how are things with your soul, no longer are people bothered enough to really hear the whole truth about what's going on with our souls. But that's where Jesus invites us to come in. Jesus invites us to model his compassion and behavior and meet people at the summit of their suffering and listen to their stories. Jesus invites us to meet other people where Jesus met us, at the height of our and other people's hopelessness, and do more than just hear him. Jesus invites us to listen to their stories, their whole truth, as much as they're willing to share, and do it in a way that will transform their disappointments and despairs into an expectation of hope. Jesus invites us to listen just long enough to convert the tears of frustration into a celebration of life. So hearing the whole story of other people is actually God's gift of healing to us and in us. When there's someone whose prognosis is poor and the diagnosis is dire, we can always trust the healing power of a caring spirit and a compassionate heart in us. In our church, this church right here, we have four persons who have been specially trained to be ministers of caring who are ready to hear every word you share with them, and it will be confidential. When in the midst of bad news and hope seems hopeless and Jesus seems delayed in his coming, there is a healing power in us to listen to people's whole story so that they can be made whole and be resurrected to new life. When it seems that someone else's prayers are deferred and they have to wait, remember that God has placed this healing power in us to listen, to hear another person's story and offer them the gracious gift of reconciliation with their God. When, like the woman with the issue of blood, people's lives are hanging by a thread, sitting on the edge of despair, and no one seems to care. When the storm clouds like sea billows roll, and they're looking for a miracle, remember, we have the healing power within us. And if we can ever remember that all we have to do is listen, then like Jesus, we will be able to resurrect new life in the midst of death. We will be able to work around the obstacles of doubt, to do the impossible through the gift of listening. Sometimes, all it takes is an ear to hear someone else's whole story. It's the power to turn an ordinary part of a daily salutation into a God-inspired, Jesus-directed, Holy Spirit moment of healing for someone else. That's the healing power that Jesus used. It's the same power that's within us. That is the word of God today for the people of God today. Amen.